confused frown on his face. "Why do you smell scared?" She opened her mouth, but her words got stuck inside her throat as Moses looked down at the ground, his frown deepening. His conflicting emotions reached out to her, spidering cracks out along the outside of her wall as a slight flash of darkness crept into the corners of his eyes. Her fists clenched tight. "Sado." She unfurled her fingers, pointing toward the stairwell. "Have you seen him? He's terrifying. I ran into him again."
"Ah."
He frowned, looking back toward the stairs, but he didn't appear alarmed, only exasperated. Sado probably scared everyone who came within stone-throwing distance of the dorm.
"That would check out. He's not a morning person, or an evening person. Now, how about the truth?"
He stopped in front of her, his amber scent warm, the sun shining through the stormy color of his eyes. She cleared her throat and tried again.
"Well, Ashford told me to get him a present, and I asked what he liked, and he said sunrises and bad coffee."
"Strong coffee,"
Ashford corrected, stepping onto the rooftop. He appeared much calmer.
"We went for a walk, and now I need to talk to her alone."
He wasn't asking permission. None of the others moved. Ashford tipped his bright eyes up to the sky, like he needed to pray for patience, and then he held out his hand.
"Come talk to me, Sigma."
"I have a name."
She folded her arms, staring at his hand.
"Please, Carter. We need to talk about what happened." "What happened?"
Theodore and Moses demanded at the exact time, but in entirely different ways. Theodore's tone was furious. Moses sounded horrified.
"It's not my thing to tell."
Isabel shrugged a little, looking at the ground. She wasn't about to blurt out that Ashford had a panic attack because he was scared of heights.
"It's not my thing to tell either."
Ashford dropped his eyes to hers, looking confused. The voice. So maybe they did need to talk after all. She scooted around Theodore's body.
"Excuse me, sorry."
He grabbed her wrist before she could pass, but his eyes were on Ashford, and they were growing dark. Moses immediately jumped off the counter.
"This conversation is over. Carter, you need to leave."
Isabel tried to pull her arm free, but Theodore's grip was too tight.
"I can't," she whispered.
Spade pulled out his phone and held it up to the camera, while Theodore slowly lifted his fingers from her arm, one by one.
"I'll catch up with you later,"
he croaked out to her, but his attention was still on Ashford. She edged toward the stairs, but when she turned back, all she could see were the three other alphas stalking toward Theodore, and the bleeding darkness that was starting to take over his eyes.
"Run away!"
Moses barked at her, his alpha voice carrying a harsh command. Her body immediately jerked to obey, but her heart stopped her, her wall crumbling as she reached out to Theodore with her ability.
"Stay right where you are, Isabel."
That was the alpha command she was used to fighting against. That was the memory that seized her as Moses' order fissured along her limbs and she tried to fight it off. Her father would force her still, force her to stay in place, to take his beatings. She would fight it with all she had. She was used to resisting the alpha command, but defying Moses and sucking in Theodore's darkness at the same time was a different story. She focused on Theodore's pupils when his eyes swung to hers. She fixated on the wavering darkness as it paused, surged, and ebbed, a silent tug of war going on. Her knees buckled, bile rising into the back of her throat. Sweat gathered on her forehead. Theodore's arms were trembling, and Moses looked torn between marching over to force her down the stairs or going to his brother. Isabel let out a low, pained whine, and it seemed to whip every head in her direction.
"What are you doing?" Spade demanded. "Stop! Carter! Isabel! Stop! Stop!"
It was someone's alpha voice again, doubling the effect of Moses's command, the weight of it forcing her lower against the stairs, forcing her head to the side, forcing her to bare her neck and back in submission and whimper. But she never broke eye contact with Theodore. She wasn't sure if her position was a reaction to the compounding alpha command, or if her body simply remembered the way her father preferred her to position herself for punishment.
"Isabel?"
The voice was soft, calming, soothing. Hands were stroking her hair back from her face.
"Isabel, it's okay. You don't have to obey."
Alpha voice again, but this time it was spoken lowly, smoothly, and the iron will forcing her to bend eased somewhat.
"Killian!"
she cried, recognizing his gentle scent and the soft way he gathered her up.
"What is she doing?"
Moses sounded shaky, panicked.
"Theo? Theo! Make her stop! She can't! You know what happens! Carter!"
This time it was Sato. He swore darkly.
"Again? Seriously, this fucking girl! Again?"
Moses' voice was getting louder, his panic increasing.
"Moses, you need to calm down," Spade ordered. "I've texted Mickey, he's coming. Just stay calm. Focus. Moses, look at me. Focus, okay?"
Theodore fell to his knees, breaking eye contact just long enough for her to notice that Spade was holding Moses back from both her and Theodore, and that Moses' eyes were also starting to bleed black. She tried to draw her walls back around her, tried to separate herself from Theodore, desperately gathering the pieces of her barrier even as the dizziness took hold. But it was too late. Her chest was already cracked open, already lined with darkness, demanding it from Theodore. So when the flood of Moses's emotion knocked against her, it wasn't met with any resistance. With Theodore, she had pulled, like she had one end of a rope, and all of his demons were dragging along at the other end as she corralled them into her body. But this time, she was the one being pulled. That same rope grew taut in her hands, wrapping her wrists and dragging her toward a bigger darkness than she had ever experienced.
"Let go."
She knew that voice, that calm, safe voice.
"Mama."
She almost sobbed the word out loud. The first time she heard it, she thought she was going crazy. But now she was just desperate, because she had never been so afraid before in her entire life. Not when her father had beaten her so badly they needed to rush her to the hospital. Not when, 3 months later, he had a drunken breakdown, overflowing with grief over what he had done to her, and she sucked away too much of that grief, inadvertently stopping her own heart. Not when Crow cornered her in the chapel, or when she thought she might have killed him. This was true, pure fear. It was a fear so consuming, it spiraled her all the way back to her childhood, to the very first time she ever felt fear, and how utterly awful it was. Just like then, it tingled all the way through to her feet. It blocked her throat, made it hard to breathe, made her head swim and her thoughts turn into vapor.
"Let go, Illy."
There was so much talking going on all around her, so much shouting, but all she could hear was that steady voice inside her head.
I can't, she tried to say, reaching desperately for that voice, wanting nothing more than for her mother to whisk her off to the hospital like all those other times. Afterwards, the doctors would say she was lucky to have an icon for a father, to have access to the human services, and she would nod shyly and agree while her mother's hand shook around hers. The more she reached, the more the sensations all around her began to change, the sounds becoming louder, more demanding, like her tugging was drawing her in the wrong direction, back to the rooftop instead of toward her mother. She tried to open her eyes, but she was swimming in darkness. Everything around her was black and full of menace, tearing and ripping away at her insides. Her heart was so frantic, her chest heaving as she tried to pull in air.
You're dying, love. It's time. Let go. Her mother was there, in the darkness with her. Isabel had thought she was urging her to fight, to live, to let go of the darkness. But that wasn't it at all. She wanted her to let go of the light, to surrender.
Scared,
she wheezed out, wasting precious breath in a desperate bid for help. Suddenly, she wasn't so sure about that voice inside her head.
I'm here, a deep voice pierced through the fog of sound around her, like a call through the wall of a waterfall. It was familiar in this hazy, foggy place, like she had heard it before in a state just like this one. Kaelin West, the man who could take her body back in time.
I can't,
his voice continued, answering someone else's frantic question.
It isn't working. It's like...
He trailed off, and she heard a fresh uproar of sound, forcing him to finish his sentence.
It's like she's already dead.
Theodore felt like he had crawled out of one nightmare and into an even bigger one. He remembered locking eyes with her. He remembered the ebb and flow of the vicious beast inside him frantically trying to claw its way out while she drank and drank all the poison that fueled him, sedating him over and over again. And then he remembered her eyes drifting closed, her whimpers, her cries, the scrunch of her brow, the way she panted for breath. Moses had collapsed, Mikkel holding him down even though he didn't seem to be moving. Kian, Oscar, Gabriel, Elijah, Nico, everyone was there, crowded around where Isabel had fallen, like they didn't know how to help her. And Kaelin was striding to the top of the stairs, barking questions, fire in his eyes. When the others scattered, he saw Killian cradling Isabel. He was crying, his tears dropping onto her cheeks. He wiped them gently away, repeating to her that she was going to be okay and that she didn't do anything wrong.
Reverse it!
Oscar dragged Kaelin down beside Isabel, shoving his hands onto her chest.
Take her back, quickly!
Theodore fought off the lingering clutches of ferality, crawling toward them, his eyes fixed on her.
I can't.
Kaelin's voice was ghostly, like Theodore was starting to lose conscience. But he held tight, watching as Moses struggled to his feet and almost collapsed, caught by Mikkel. Moses didn't go feral either. Isabel had taken it all. The taste of ash hit the back of his throat, but he swallowed it down, biting his tongue and spreading the copper taste of blood across his tongue. Not again. Not her, too.
It's like she's already dead.
Theodore stopped trying to pull himself toward them, his eyes wide, ash spilling all the way to the back of his teeth. Darkness flashed, and he lost the battle completely. Killian swept up her body, pulling her back from the hands of everyone else as a loud roar ripped across the rooftop. Theo's fucking lost it. Nico jumped in front of Killian, his hand rubbing across his chest as Gabriel quickly turned and set their shoulders together, forming a barrier between Theodore and Killian, whose chest was also hurting. He wanted to rub it like Nico was, to ease the sharp burn, but he didn't dare shift Isabel. Theodore was tearing things off the kitchen counter, smashing them everywhere, while Mikkel and Oscar tried to subdue him. Moses was standing on the sidelines, trembling, fighting his own battle against the surging ferality. He was also rubbing his chest, but Killian wasn't given any time to dwell on it as a toaster was suddenly flying toward Gabriel. Elijah knocked it out of the way, almost falling into Gabriel before righting himself and adding his body to the wall protecting Isabel and Killian. Kaelin had stepped up to Moses, a hand on his shoulder, muttering low and blocking his view of Theodore. But his voice rose suddenly, loud and ferocious. "Downstairs, everybody! Mickey, can you handle him?" "Got him," Mickey gritted out, forcing Theodore back against the fridge, which now had a person-sized dint in it, the door hanging unevenly on its hinges. Kaelin's alpha bark was forcing them all to the lower level of the house, where Killian sank into one of the common room couches, still clutching Isabel against his searing chest. Kaelin grabbed his face, staring right into his eyes. And that was when Killian noticed. Kaelin's eyes weren't the same. One was his usual yellowed amber, but the other was pale honey with gold specks, the exact same shade as Isabel's. Killian pulled her closer, pinching her even tighter against his burning skin. "You're her mate?" Killian rasped out, his voice shaky. He could feel the tears slip down his cheeks again. "She's going to live?" Kaelin released him without answering, grabbing Nico by the shoulders and repeating the same examination. They were all looking at each other now, all noticing the same thing. Their eyes had changed, exactly like when a mate bond is found. Killian stopped breathing, flicking his attention between his friends. Nico, Kian, Oscar, Moses, Elijah, Gabriel, they all had a single gold-flecked eye. "No, no, 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 no." Moses stalked off, horrified, in disbelief, presumably to consult a mirror. Killian didn't need to. He could feel it in his chest. The burning, the pain, the things that the gifted hardly ever talked about. But they did. They talked about it just enough for him to know exactly what was happening. He was forming a mate bond with the soft little Sigma who refused to stray far from his mind. "Theo?" He sucked in a deep, unsteady breath. "Mickey?"
"We'll know when Mickey gets a hold of him,"
Kaelin answered before frowning, turning to stare at Killian.
"Wait, what do you mean, Mickey?"
Fuck. Kaelin didn't know. He didn't know his eyes had changed. He hadn't been paying attention to what Killian had said. He wasn't thinking about himself. Only them. Killian didn't answer, looking back to Isabel's pale face. She could have been sleeping if it wasn't for the blood dripping from her nose. He used his shirt to wipe it away as gently as he could. Kaelin was frozen in the middle of the room, staring at the small body wrapped up in Killian's arms. Gabriel and Elijah had collapsed into chairs of their own, eyes wide and unblinking,
like they had decided to temporarily vacate their minds. Kian looked disturbed, but not exactly surprised. They had all quietly considered that Theodore might have been her mate, even if they didn't admit it out loud. But this? Nobody could have expected this. This didn't make sense in the slightest. He had no idea if anything like this had ever happened before.
She almost died with me.
Oscar's face was dark, his brows heavy as he stared at the floor.
She stopped breathing. I resuscitated her. What are you trying to say?
Moses demanded, striding back into the room. He had blood dripping from his knuckles. He must have punched something.
That mating can't possibly be a coincidence? It's not important right now.
Kaelin was still staring at Isabel.
Is she breathing?
They all immediately turned to hear Killian's answer. He nodded silently. He could feel her breath stirring against his collarbone.
Kill.
Kian finally collapsed into a chair, his eyes heavy on Killian's face.
I'm sorry.
Killian winced, cuddling her closer. He didn't need pity. Isabel had made him wonder, made him think things, but being forced to feel a certain way about one person, about one gender, that was a whole other thing.
I don't want to talk about it,
he said firmly.
Does she need medical attention?
Nico asked, guiding the topic away immediately.
None of us can take her.
Elijah winced, waving at his face.
The second the authorities find out that a Sigma has bonded to 8, possibly 10, Alphas, our lives change. Ironside is important to them, but not as important as understanding how the bonds form. They'll pull us out of the academy and have us strapped to lab tables before sunset. They might even fake our deaths, and it won't be hard with Theo trying to tear through the fucking dorm. They'll say one of us had an illegal ability, that one of us was explosive and dangerous, and killed the rest of us. And they'll use the story to tighten restrictions in the settlements. We'll lose decades of progress.
That helped bring things back into perspective. Gabriel visibly pulled himself up taller, some of the numbness creeping out of his expression.
We need to come up with a plan. No matter what, this can't affect what we have going on here. Agreed,
Kaelin grunted.
Oscar, go help Mickey. We've got a long day ahead of us and we need both of them conscious when she wakes up.
He couldn't even say her name. Chapter 17. Spoken for and against. Mikkel felt the object collide with the side of his face before he could stop it, but he kept his hands around Theodore's straining neck, ignoring the blood that dripped down the sides of his face. Theodore's nails had extended into short black talons, sharp enough to tear away skin like it was paper. But Theodore was too lost to be systematic in his attacks. He wanted the pleasure of shattering things, breaking things, ripping things apart. And he hadn't yet exhausted the kitchen fixtures, which meant Mikkel had some time before he ran out of practical objects to tear apart and moved on to people.
Get off me!
Theodore growled, every word from his mouth spoken in alpha voice. Ferality was forbidden for a reason. Perhaps it was the only ability the government had good reason to extinguish. Spit flew from the sides of Theodore's mouth, his eyes dark pools of ink, spidery black veins shooting out from that cold black stare. Mikkel pushed off Theodore's influence, disregarding his command. Theodore's struggles intensified, but Mikkel only tightened his grip, grunting at the impact of something crashing into his shoulder. It was difficult to ignore a command, even amongst alphas, but when too many of them cohabitated for too long, a ranking system inevitably formed. Mikkel was second from the top, and Theodore was second from the bottom. His orders barely had any hold on Mikkel.
Enough,
he snapped, lifting Theodore's neck and smacking his head down against the hard ground. Theodore had been trying to hit along his right side with a heavy blender, but he tossed it into the broken kitchen counter instead, releasing a litany of curses as his talons finally began to tear away at Mikkel's torso.
Allow me,
a hoarse voice offered, a dusky hand appearing over Theodore's face, covering his nose and mouth. Oscar grabbed one of Theodore's lethal hands, using his body weight to pin it to the ground as Mikkel did the same with his other hand, trapping it against the ground with his knee.
Pass the fuck out already,
Oscar demanded, continuing to cover Theodore's air passages for a good minute even after his body went limp. Theodore was known to pretend to pass out when he was pinned down, and it usually ended in carnage when they underestimated him.
So you too, then.
Oscar quickly lowered his face when Mikkel glanced up, something dark in his expression.
What are you talking about?
Mikkel stumbled up, lifting his shirt to check the damage Theodore had done before swiping a hand towel from the ground and shaking glass out of it. He folded it up and pressed it to one of the gouges in his neck. Oscar stood and lifted his eyes properly to Mikkel's, revealing one dark eye and one pale gold eye, lit from within like sunlight passing through dripping honey. He hadn't paid much attention to the Sigma, but it didn't take a genius to figure out whose eye color that was.
You have a mate.
Mikkel was so shocked he could barely speak.
That poor girl. Holy fuck, that poor, poor girl. Not just me.
Oscar shrugged, dropping that bomb before he walked off.
Come downstairs. Leave him.
He nodded his head toward Theodore.
I don't need to check to know his eyes have changed. The hell are you talking about, Oscar?
Mikkel wanted to stalk after him, but he couldn't just leave Theodore to bleed out on the rooftop, especially if the production team decided they were tired of waiting for the Dorm A cameras to reset and decided to deploy drones. He hoisted Theodore up, grunting at the weight as he carried him to the stairs. He deposited the unconscious boy onto his bed and then stepped into his ensuite. He tore off his shirt, since it was already in tatters, and switched out the bloodied hand towel for a fresh one, cleaning himself in the sink as best he could before rummaging around for a first aid kit. It wasn't until he was all bandaged up that he decided to wash the sweat from his face, and it wasn't until he was staring directly into his own mismatched eyes in the mirror that Oscar's words finally made sense. So you too, then. One of his eyes was a pale, honeyed gold. He quickly pushed away from the sink, his stomach dropping, his hands shaking. His phone was already burning a hole through his pocket, and he resisted the urge to reach for it.
She doesn't need to know. Not just yet. Not until they figured out what was happening.
He burst out of the room and swallowed his dread as he congregated with the others. Killian sat with his head in his hands, his shoulders hunched and tense. Kian looked like he was staring into the eyes of a demon only he could see, but he was the only one who didn't look entirely shell-shocked, his arm looped around Killian like he didn't quite know how to console the other boy. The Sigma was stretched out along the couch, everyone avoiding looking at her or approaching her.
Is she...
Mikkel started, but Kaelin cut him off.
Alive. Just. From what I know of the death phase, she probably isn't going to wake up anytime soon.
Mikkel froze, meeting his best friend's gaze. Kaelin stared back with mismatched eyes, one more yellow than gold. They all had it. The gold eye. Like some sort of plague that had rapidly burst through the dorm.
Moses looked like he was on the verge of a mental breakdown, and Mikkel kept him in his sights, watching for signs of ferality. Gabriel and Elijah were standing together in the corner, huddling in like they could step into a bubble and be invincible against the situation. Nico was staring straight at the door, a blank expression on his face, like he was trying to decide if he should just leave, give it all up. But it was Killian he was most worried about. Killian and Kaelin. And goddammit, himself, too. Obviously, no bonds are going to be completed. Kaelin finally announced, his tone husky. Mikkel had never heard him sound so unsteady.
We're all too old for her, Oscar added, just in case you were floundering for reasons.
Bro! Kian groaned, his arm dropping from Killian's shoulders.
Shut the fuck up!
I'm literally her age. Moses rolled his eyes at Oscar. And Theo is only a year older. Kian, Nico, and Killian are, what, 3 years older? Even Kaelin is only 7 years older. Stop stirring, Oscar.
Mikkel looked down at the girl laid out across the couch. Her knees were bruised. Her hair was tangled. Her name was Isabel. She had honey-colored eyes. She could dance well enough to make him hold his breath. She was 6 years younger than him. And she was his...
Nope. He stopped trying to think of everything he knew about her. She was a problem. That was all. Granted, she was a significant problem.
She's 18. Bonding doesn't happen to underaged people, he said, lifting his eyes to the window instead. Moving on to the real issue.
We could kill her, Oscar suggested casually. There were a few exasperated sighs around the room, and Mikkel was glad Theodore was still unconscious, or another fight might have broken out.
I don't have to do it directly, Oscar offered. I could wait for the chaos to cause an accident. Then there's no blood on our hands, and the problem is dealt with. She's the tether, right? We're the anchors. That's how it works, since she was the one who almost died. That means her connection to us is the only thing keeping her alive. If she dies, nothing happens to us.
It was disturbing how much he had thought it through already. Disturbing, but unsurprising.
The blood will most definitely be on our hands.
Kaelin shot down the idea just as calmly as Oscar had brought it up.
There's only one way forward. We need to hide what happened, not just from the world, but from her.
She has a name,
Killian muttered, still unable to lift his head.
Isabel,
Kaelin relented, only wincing a little.
We need to keep Isabel in the dark for now, until we figure out how to deal with the situation.
Oscar is right, Elijah spoke up. The only way out of this situation is if she dies. Even half-formed bonds are unbreakable.
Then we all live with half-formed bonds,
Kaelin shot back, his voice a little too heavy. He straightened up, taking a deep breath to steady himself.
Murder isn't an option. I wasn't suggesting it.
Elijah folded his arms, looking beyond pissed off.
I was just pointing out the obvious. Her bonds are half-formed, and the longer we resist it, the more the bonds will act up. You've all heard the stories of couples trying to ignore or resist the mate bond. It isn't patient, and it isn't gentle. It will force her to us, and us to her. It will broadcast our thoughts at the most inappropriate moments. It will rip us from where we stand and drop us at her feet without warning, heedless of whether we're in the middle of class or trying to sleep. It will overwhelm us with dreams of her and drive us all insane trying to make us give in. And those are only the first three side effects I can recall off the top of my head. There are dozens of them.
Then we keep it secret for as long as we can, Kaelin ordered, and we resist until we die.
because the alternative is 10 alphas sharing a single mate. And even if we managed to keep that hidden from the government, we wouldn't need them to tear us apart. We would do it ourselves.
I'll organize contacts to hide our eyes.
Gabriel was already on his phone.
But we're going to need to do a lot more than just cover that up. What about her eyes? Who's going to make her wear contacts? We could get her expelled.
Oscar wasn't so ready to give in. Moses perked up, like that might be a suitable solution.
Tethers can't be far from their anchor for long,
Gabriel replied without looking up.
Side effects include dizziness, shortness of breath, chest pains, and, if left for longer, severe flu-like symptoms. Rare cases can lead to hypothermia and eventually death. I advise you to stop suggesting we kill her.
Oscar sighed, pushing away from the wall.
I didn't sign up for this shit.
He began walking away, but Kaelin stepped into his path, shaking his head.
Wait,
he commanded.
Killian.
He didn't shift his attention from Oscar for even a second.
You're going to be her shadow until we figure out a better plan. She doesn't sleep alone, she doesn't eat alone, she doesn't shower alone. Do you understand?
That's too much. I can't follow her everywhere.
Killian's voice was low, trembling.
I have my own classes.
Theo will transfer into her classes and be her shadow during the day. Is that the best idea?
Mikkel interjected, that hard ball of dread thickening and rolling around inside his stomach, making his throat tighten with nausea. Theodore liked the girl. They all knew it. He had better self-control than Moses, and probably most of the rest of them, thanks to his constant battle with ferality. But would it be enough?
We'll transfer to her dance classes,
Elijah offered, his eyes falling to the couch before quickly flicking away.
She does mostly dance anyway. She's already in one class with me,
Kian offered.
Theodore should convince her to join one of his vocal classes,
Gabriel added thoughtfully.
It might draw attention if we're all suddenly transferring into her classes. And she has a nice voice. It's light as air and kind of husky. If she sounds that nice talking, I imagine she could sound good enough singing. Is there anyone else we need to worry about?
The words were out of Mikkel's mouth before he could stop them, because Gabriel complimenting anyone was a red flag. He tried not to look at anyone in particular.
Anyone other than Theo, I mean.
No.
Moses scoffed.
No,
Kian said, that disturbed look back on his face.
No.
Elijah and Gabriel answered at once, both of them huddled over Gabriel's phone, Elijah pointing out things on the screen.
I don't even know her,
Nico answered with a shrug. He was trying to look like he was above all of this, like it affected him the least. But Nico had very traditional parents who had formed a small Asian community within Nico's settlement. They would arrange his marriage when the time seemed right and the girl seemed appropriate. This wasn't the right time, and Isabel wasn't the right girl. She was blonde, American. She wasn't even from the settlements. And who knew what her religion was? Even if Nico told his family that she was his mate, they would never accept her, not as she was. Fated mates were very important to people who followed the gifted religion, but it would take more than that to earn their acceptance. Maybe that did actually make this situation easier for him, knowing it could never happen.
Kian?
Kaelin prompted, as if he hadn't heard him the first time. Kian brushed his golden hair back, aqua eyes scanning the room. He took a little too long to answer this time, and seemed to be lost in thought before he finally settled his attention on Kaelin.
You don't have to worry about me, but you should be worried about her. There's something off about her.
Yeah, this whole time she was your fucking mate,
Moses spat out.
Of course there was something off about her.
Kian only let his attention drift back to the ground as he calmly returned.
It's more than that. but you'll figure it out for yourself. And we all know I'm not the real threat here. Oscar is.
Oscar had fallen back against the wall, his arms loosely crossed, his teeth digging into his lower lip. He was jumpy, the energy inside him making his skin itchy. Mikkel knew the feeling. It was like there was some sort of demon inside him sometimes, itching to crawl out of his skin and wreak havoc. Watching Oscar struggle only brought his own irritability to the surface, and he walked over to the window, placing his hands against the glass as he looked up to the sky. The light blue slowly darkened, clouds gathering. Only a big storm would explain away the damage Theodore did to the rooftop this time. He closed his eyes with a sigh, releasing the energy inside him, pouring out the restlessness and turmoil until it swirled above them, menacing and heavy. Rain began to fall down in thick droplets, thunder rumbling in the distance. He kept his hand on the window, willing the storm to take form as he turned back to face the room. Everyone had been watching him, but they turned back to Oscar now, not willing to let him escape the question.
"Do we need to worry about you?" Kaelin asked bluntly.
Oscar laughed, throwing his head back, his deep-set eyes closing.
"You brought me here so you would have someone to tidy up all your messes. And now you have a messy situation. And I'm the one you're worried about? Give me a break."
"Give us a break,"
Elijah returned coldly, though he wasn't being unfriendly, only annoyed that they were taking so long to sort this out. Mikkel could tell he wanted to disappear into his room and research everything there was to learn about mate bonds.
"You're an independent person, Oscar. You do whatever you want to do. You're not just a soldier who waits around for orders. Are you going to hurt the Sigma or not?"
"My sister is back home, dying without the right medicine,"
Oscar whispered darkly, his brows drawn down.
"I sacrificed everything to come here, to carry out our plan. If she threatens to expose us, I will get her out of the way. And I won't be gentle."
"But you won't go out of your way to hurt her."
Gabriel was making more of a statement than asking a question. Oscar grunted. It seemed to be an affirmative, so Kaelin sought out the only person who had yet to speak, other than Mikkel. Mikkel couldn't possibly be a problem, just like Kaelin couldn't be. They were both spoken for. Killian looked up, his face drawn.
"I don't know if you have to worry about me,"
he admitted softly.
"I'm worried about myself. I really liked her. And then it seemed like..." "She's fine, Kill."
Kian wrapped his arm around the other boy again.
"She's going to be okay. And so are you. You won't be completing the bond, and it can't force you to feel anything. It might make you think about her a lot and want to be near her and all the other wacky side effects, but it can never change what's in your heart."
"Murder is in my heart,"
Oscar pointed out.
"You're all making me change that."
"He's joking,"
Moses added, unnecessarily.
"But it's also in my heart to get her expelled, or to ignore her completely. We could stay just close enough that she doesn't get hypothermia and die, but she might have to put up with the little light hay fever or something."
"Idiots,"
Mikkel muttered, walking over to the couch. Everyone shut up immediately, holding their breath. He knelt down beside the Sigma, his hand hovering over her face. He didn't want to touch her.
"Check her eyes," he said, dropping his hand again.
He couldn't do it. It was Killian who unfurled, walking over to kneel next to him. He pulled open one of her eyelids, and they both stared at the color of her eyeball, even though it was half rolled back into her head. It wasn't a warm honey anymore, but it wasn't any other color either. It was green, blue, yellow, gold, black. It was dark and pale, uneven and splotchy, like some sort of optical illusion that changed when you shifted your head to look at it a different way.
"She has all our colors,"
Mikkel announced, standing up.
"And it will be impossible for her to tell who her mate is, only that she has one, and she won't suspect any of us from the color."
"Not until the bond starts pushing us together, at least,"
Elijah added.
"So we're doing this, then? We're lying to her?"
"For now."
Kaelin stepped out of Oscar's path, and Oscar immediately strode off, his fingers agitatedly tapping against his thigh.
"Eventually we will need to tell her the truth,"
Kaelin added.
"But only when she's ready for the whole truth. Only when we can trust her not to expose us and destroy decades worth of meticulous planning and hard work."
"Then it's decided."
Mikkel stood, looking down at the sleeping Sigma.
"For your sake, I hope the bond doesn't draw you to me," he thought, before turning and leaving the room.
Isabel reached for her blanket with aching fingers, almost too weak to grasp the material.
"Here."
The blanket was tugged to her chin, careful hands tucking it around her arms.
"Kaelin?"
She blinked her eyes slowly open, wincing at the stabbing pain that ricocheted through her head.
"Oh, God," she groaned, hitting her forehead. "I really messed up. Big time."
His hand caught hers, holding onto it like she was made of glass. Her vision cleared, and she looked around at his room, and then down at his bed, which she was tucked into. There were bowls and cups and spoons piled on a tray, decorating a small table that had been pulled up near the bed, and Kaelin looked different. She couldn't quite put her finger on it, and the emotion that usually thumped against her chest was all confused and muddled, like even he didn't know what he was feeling. He looked down at their hands, and his shoulders suddenly slumped forward, his head landing on the bed beside her thigh. His entire body shook as he let out a long, broken sigh.
"You're awake,"
he spoke into the blanket, his tone distorted.
"You're finally awake."
"How long have I been out?"
She frowned down at his tense, broad shoulders before plucking open the top of her t-shirt with her free hand. There were no bruises on her chest this time.
"Wait."
She pushed back the blankets, shivering a little.
"I wasn't wearing this."
Her denim shorts were gone, replaced with nothing. Only the long, faded yellow shirt that was thin and soft against her skin, and what felt like clean underwear. In other words, what she usually wore to sleep. But she didn't usually sleep in Kaelin's bed.
"It's been a few days."
He slumped back in his chair, his eyes rising to meet hers again. His thumb began tracing small circles along the back of her hand, almost distractedly, like he didn't even realize he was touching her.
"I changed your clothes. I hope that's okay."
3 days?
She spluttered, accepting the glass of water he handed her. She sipped it slowly as he gave her a tired nod, the liquid like knives going down her sore throat. She set the glass aside, rubbing at her chest.
"Why didn't you take me to the hospital?"
"We couldn't."
He pulled his hand away from hers, his eyes switching between hers like he didn't quite know where to focus.
"There was a storm. It was too dangerous."
She rubbed a little harder at her chest, memories slowly seeping back to her.
"Theo,"
she croaked, her vision blurring as she remembered the look on his face, and then Moses' desperate pleas, and West's deep voice.
"It's like she's already dead." No, fuck, don't cry.
Killian was suddenly leaning over her, his hands on her face, brushing her tears away.
You're okay, sweetheart. You're okay. Theo's okay too. Everyone is fine.
His voice broke, like that was a lie, and his emotion was a heavy weight against her chest, making it hurt even more. He wasn't okay.
Shh.
He tucked her hair behind her ears and kissed her cheeks gently. And just as she lifted her face, overwhelmed by the gentle affection, his mouth suddenly brushed against hers. The pain in her chest eased, but her breath halted. She grew hot, her entire body flushing, her hands shaking in her lap.
Your eyes changed,
he muttered against her lips.
You have a mate.
He pulled back, letting her see his eyes.
But it isn't clear who it is. Your eyes don't match any of ours.
Did you just kiss me? She asked numbly. Mate? She had a mate? Her eyes had changed?
No.
He was staring at her mouth, his hands still firmly holding her face.
But I'm about to.
Why would you do that? She had a mate?
To see if I feel anything.
He came back to her slowly, his thumb touching her lip just before his mouth pressed to hers, lush and soft, his breath sweet and warm, stuttering as his lips parted. Her heart was racing so fast it felt like she was in danger of passing out again. But he held her up. He held her firm. He seared her with his breath so that she couldn't slip away, forcing her to pay attention.
I don't know how to kiss,
she mumbled against him, awkward and panicking and so hot she could feel a droplet of sweat gathering along the center of her spine. His hand slipped around the back of her neck, some of the softness leaking from his grip as he took hold of her.
Open your mouth.
It was a gentle command, tinged with a strange note of despair. Stop, she was on the cusp of saying. You don't have to do this. Of course you aren't my mate. But as soon as she opened her mouth, his tongue pushed inside, brushing against her own, tasting her. The fingers against the back of her neck flexed, his grunt vibrating against her tongue. She must have moved it instinctively, chasing his taste. His mouth slanted over hers, pressing harder, his tongue driving deeper as he loomed closer, his chest brushing hers, like he was about to press her down into the pillows. And then he was tearing himself away.
It's not me.
His chest was heaving, his eyes bright and tortured.
It can't be me. You understand?
She could only croak out an unintelligible sound of shock. She had a mate. Killian had kissed her. Killian wasn't her mate. The facts rolled around and around, refusing to stick.
I don't understand,
she finally rasped, her fingers fluttering back to her chest where the ache had sprung up again. Killian's light eyes followed the movement before flicking back to her face. His tongue ran across his lips, his nostrils flaring.
Isabel.
His chest expanded, his breath uneven.
I shouldn't have done that. I just needed to know.
If you were my mate? It still wasn't sinking in. His eyes drifted to the side, like he didn't know how to answer. Before moving back to her.
You almost died. We think you did die, but it was only the death phase. You came back, and your eyes had changed.
It was like he was speaking from a script, his voice too numb to properly broadcast his feelings. She struggled up, her limbs weak as she tried to stand. He turned slightly like he was about to scoop her up, and she quickly skidded away, her steps unsteady as she pushed into the bathroom, leaning against the sink. The first thing she noticed was that she wasn't disheveled, as she had expected. She was clean. Her hair was smooth and shiny. She smelt nice.
"You've been taking care of me," she muttered, raising her eyes in the mirror.
Killian came up behind her, his posture hunched, his arms tucked protectively across his chest.
"We thought you would be most comfortable with me, but it almost earned me a broken rib from Theo."
She barely heard him. She could see it now. Her eyes were multicolored. She was staring into a galaxy. Black splotches decorated the center, filled with specks of yellow, green, blue, and gray in several different shades. And between all the colors were the golden flecks that were her own. It wasn't one of her eyes that had changed. It was both of them.
"Who has eyes this color?"
she balked, gripping the counter harder.
"I don't know anyone with eyes this color."
Her voice was rising in a panic.
"You have to be beside your mate in the death phase. Does this mean..."
Her mate didn't exist? She was finally coming to terms with what Killian had said, with what he had done.
"You were worried it was you?"
She spun, her heart hurting for him. He didn't move. He just stared at her.
"I just needed to know."
"But you know now, right?"
She felt her whole body lock up, her mouth going dry. She could still taste him, still feel him. His weight as he tipped her backwards, his hot breath as it stuttered, his deep grunt. She had always thought Killian was beautiful. He had always taken her breath away. She just didn't need to be admitting that to him right now.
"I do."
He stepped back.
"And I think there's something I need to tell you."
He did a quick check over his shoulder, his mouth firming into a determined line as he seemed to make sure the door to his room was shut.
"I'm terrible at keeping secrets."
"You are," she agreed automatically, numb with shock.
"There's something else you need to know."
He took a deep breath, holding her gaze as all of the emotions battering against her chest evened out, morphing into one. Her hand was pressed to her chest again, and Killian's emotions settled beneath it, stark and painful. Guilt. To be continued. Bonus scene. Guilty.
"Don't do it." She was crying, for fuck's sake.
But he couldn't stop thinking about it. For days, Killian had cared for her. He had brushed her beautiful hair until the ripples of strawberry gold were smooth as silk, until all she needed were flowers tucked into the ripples and she would have looked like a Disney fucking princess. He had kept her hydrated and carefully fed her soup with her head propped up, one tiny little spoonful at a time. He had made sure she was comfortable and monitored her like a goddamn mother hen. And the whole time, he thought about one thing. He thought about kissing her. Like she was a science experiment. Or like he was a morbid scientist who already knew the consequences of his experiment, but couldn't just leave it alone. And now she was crying, and it hurt to see her so upset. But there was something broken inside him because he wasn't just sorry for her. He was also sorry for himself, and still driven by that same incessant niggling thought. He kissed her cheek, tasting the sweet cherry of her skin mixed with the bitterness of her tears. And maybe that should have been enough. But it wasn't, so he kissed her other cheek. He was just making it worse. She lifted her head and he didn't move his away, allowing their lips to brush together. He could hear her breath halt and feel her wide-eyed shock. "Your eyes changed." His lips brushed hers again as he spoke. "You have a mate." He shifted back. "But it isn't clear who it is. Your eyes don't match any of ours." His lips were tingling. He wanted to lick them, to draw her taste into his mouth, but she looked so shocked.
"Did you just kiss me?" she asked.
"No." God, it felt like he was on an edge, and he could give in to this impossible need, or he could give in to the panic. He still hadn't let go of her face, and he gently pulled her an inch or so closer, his stomach curling with heat at how she swayed toward him. "But I'm about to."
"Why would you do that?"
"Good question. To see if I feel anything." He was lying. Fuck. He was lying, right? He tried to convince himself to back off, but his thumb brushed against her lips, and they parted slightly, the movement a straight shot to his gut. He couldn't help himself. He kissed her, dragging his thumb out of the way and pinching her chin to keep her there in the moment, to stop her giving in to the shock.
"I don't know how to kiss," she whispered against him.
She was shaking, her skin ratcheting up in temperature, and he needed more of it. More of the innocent reactions she didn't even bother to hide. She was soft and pliant as he slanted his mouth over hers. Her lips seemed to be dusted with sticky cherry syrup, and he felt the danger of addiction in that moment. He wasn't sexually inexperienced, but her scent, her taste, was... he had never experienced anything like it. "Open your mouth." He tried to sound gentle, not like his world was falling down in ruins all around him, not like his worst fears were confirmed. For most people, being attracted to their mate was a given, not just a blessing. But for them, it would be a soul-deep curse. He would have to push it down. He needed to switch it off. He had to... She opened her mouth, and he forgot all about what he had to do. Just one taste. He drove his tongue between her sweet lips, trying not to lose himself in the potent sensation of her little tongue licking back curiously against his. It was just attraction. She was just attractive. He liked most things about her, and she was so fucking responsive. That's all it was. He could ignore that. He grunted, his body growing heavy, his fingers itching to reach down and haul her up against him, to weigh her back down and part those trembling thighs so he could ease some of the ache springing up through his body. But he didn't, because he wasn't for her, and she wasn't for him. Not just him. "It's not me." He tore himself away, his chest heaving, his body aching. "It can't be me. You understand?" She was touching her chest again, and he could feel a corresponding pain in his own. They would all feel it. They would know she was awake. "I don't understand." Her voice was rough, her doe eyes rounded, her cheeks tainted with color. He ran his tongue across his lips, breathing deep to fill his lungs with her scent, savoring what would be his first and last taste. "Isabel." He struggled to bring himself under control. "I shouldn't have done that. I just needed to know."
"If you were my mate?"
She looked so confused.
Fuck. How could they do this to her?
But they had to. For now, it was her or them. Until the mate bond gave them away. This has been Plié, Ironside Academy, Book 1. Written by Jane Washington. Narrated by Jennifer Sterling. Copyright 2023 by Jane Washington. Production copyright by Jane Washington.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.